for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2009 Labor Day Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday morning, September the 5th, 2009. Ronnie Bejew is the speaker of this service, teaching on God is Changing Our Spiritual Climate.
Praise the Lord.
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 This is about as much as mustard as you've got. I said, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
You're not the church of the dead.
No.
And not the frozen chosen. I had to teach Sister Jerry a step or two this morning in the praise and worship. Now, she's going to have another jingle in her step. You know? She's trying real hard, and she did a great job. I'm proud of her. She did a very good job. And as soon as I find out what I did with my mess here, I'll do a better job to help you in just a little bit. Amen. How many of you believe that the Lord is on the throne?
Amen.
How many of you don't know what you believe? Let me get on this side. Seems like we got more praises over here.
Hallelujah.
Y'all are nervous or what?
No.
I'm not nervous. Y'all believe the Lord's on the throne?
Yes.
Oh, well. Y'all believe the Lord's on the throne?
Yes.
Now, I got me some witnesses over here.
Yes.
And you watch how the Holy Ghost flows. I'm going to flow around where that witness is. Because we came to praise the Lord.
Amen.
We came to worship God.
Amen.
We are in an interesting position in the church. And so I have to be very clear on how I state my title. I give titles here that don't ever get put on the CDs. So if you would help me, say, God
is changing
our spiritual
climate.
Would you stand to your feet, please, and open the Word of God to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. We like to honor the Word of God. The President was here, you'd all stand to attention because of his position and his election. Jesus is here, and we're standing in reverence to who He is in our lives. Jesus gives this parable in Matthew 13. I want to pick it up in verse 44. Matthew 13, verse 44. Again, He said. Obviously, when the Word of God says again, it's been repeated. The kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure, hid in a field, the which when a man had found, he hideth. For the joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchantman seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew to shore, sat down, gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels or the messengers shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said unto them, have you understood all these things? And what does the church generally say? Yea, Lord.
Yeah, Lord.
Then said he unto them, therefore, since you understand all this, every scribe, every student of the Word of God, which is instructed in the kingdom of heaven, is likened unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. Father, we are thankful and privileged to be here. We honor you, for you are the Most High God.
Hallelujah.
There is none like you. None. You always go before us. In the storms you gather us like a mother hen. And we dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. And because you are God, you draw your people because you love people. You made us in your image. Help us to find the treasures that are hidden. Help us to make wise investments of our spiritual life on this earth. For when our course is over, we can hear the Master say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." And the church said,
"Amen."
You may be seated. Turn with me to the book of Ruth, right after the book of Judges. I don't apologize for what I am and who I am, because I realize that the confidence I have now in God is the confidence that He created in me, and it did not come without being broken a time or two. I got to Job 42 myself. A time or two. And see, when we understand that we're not here to try to tell God how to run His kingdom, we allow Him to use us in places we never dreamed we would be used. Now, on the earth, there's a lot of controversy about the apostolic and prophetic giftings in the church. But I want to tell you that I know with a surety the church will never come into divine order without the apostles and prophets. Now, if you got to have a fancy title tied at the end of your name, you need help. Because when you see what the prophets went through and you see what these apostles went through, you would be a fool to desire a gift like that. Y'all going to help me preach? You see, the apostles in the book of Judges was a prelude to what God was going to do in the New Testament church. They were in symbolic, in typology, an apostleship. They were there to rule the great nation of Israel. Can you imagine today if we didn't have civil authority on the earth? That'll quit you from criticizing your local cops and those in authority. I had such a problem every time I saw a troop on the side of the road. Ask my wife. Say amen, honey.
Amen.
But if the car behind me would have run over my family and the trooper was parked on the side of the road and didn't do his job, you know, how can I blame him? He's there to protect you and to serve you. The men and women of God that have come before us and that will come after us, should Jesus tarry, they're here to help and protect you, to get you some understanding of what the Lord Jesus is all about. He has a government in heaven, and there's a government on the earth, and for the government from the heaven to operate on the earth, we have to come in divine order. I'm preaching better than y'all shout. See me at the church. I give you my card. You can call me. An appointment. Yeah. I've been corrected a time or two myself. We do thank you for allowing us to come and minister to you by the grace of God. How many of you are in the book of Ruth? Say amen.
Amen.
I don't know that we'll run out of time or not. And if we do, I'll try my best if the Lord allows me, if we get to minister to you a second time before we leave. There's a church being developed in the book of Ruth. And God uses her life to teach us some things. Because you see, right during the time of the book of Judges, the church or the nation of Israel was in dark ages. How many of you know when we were in the dark ages, there were no revelations? The book of Samuel said there was no clear vision on the earth. And when you go to the great denominations that used to praise the Lord and used to get on the streets and just go out and soul win and had a heart for souls, and their hearts were broken. And when they saw wickedness and sinners on the street, when the church had become so cold and callous and hard, and they can walk by people who are lost and their hearts will never move to trouble anymore, I think we need to be awakened in the 21st century church. 1800, 1900 preachers that called it praying through. We pray for 5 minutes and we've been through 4 minutes before the fire came up. My old auntie prayed for me for 16 years, calluses on her knees in front of a little gas stove, showed me the moss in her floor, prayed for me for 16 years without a day missing. She held me before the throne of God. And I'm warning people, who's holding you before the throne of God today? I'm sorry if my heart is moved today. What endeavors did you have waiting for you? You have a destiny to fulfill.
Yes.
And you can be in the wrong position to try to fulfill your destiny. And you must rise up to another level to be all that you can be.
Yes.
Because time is far spent. Today we're here and tomorrow we could be but vapor. That's the reality of when you get to be a senior citizen. Not when you're 25 and 30 and you've got years to come. It's amazing, Brother Hallmark, that how 14 and 15 year olds can see 60 years down the road. If you notice, when he talked about scribes, he's really talking about disciples. The church has lost its purpose when it quit discipling people. We traded good discipleship for church planning and bigger and better and larger cathedrals. And we've become, like Paul said to the church at Corinth, like brass. We are almost at a position where it has to be a tragedy for us to get back on the knees and begin to really wail in the Spirit. I can't remember the time in church service where somebody fell on the floor and moaning and groaning like a cow, and they thought something, that woman must have a bellyache or something. But they were groaning in the Spirit, an utterance that could not be understood, but God your Father understands it. I like the old slogan that was used in Dancing with Wolves, and the Indian chief talks to Kevin Costner and he said, "We've come a long ways, you and me. Lord has brought us this far, people, not to leave us." We haven't seen anything yet. People are always looking all over the world for this move and that move and this move and that move. You ever get along with God and there'll be all the move you need. I spoke to you prophetically last time I was here about a river that's coming. And God said, "I want you to announce this word." I said, "I don't want to announce this word. They're going to think it's just another move." He said, "No, this river that's coming, God is the author and finisher of it. Nobody's going to get the credit. And it's not going to be in a particular church setting. You just never know when the river is going to flow." Well, hallelujah. Church on the move. The Bible says in Ruth chapter 1, verse 1 says, "Now," everybody say, "now."
"Now."
"Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi, and the name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwell there about 10 years. Prophetic number is interesting. 10 years of divine order. What a setting. The pastor dies, and the two boys would not even make good altar boys.
Amen.
Excuse me, but it's the truth. One was strong-willed. The other one was sickly. Just never managed to amount to much of anything. And the daughter-in-laws were interesting. Orpah talks about a free-spirited woman. You know, women in the Bible are symbolic of the church. Everybody said church. Orpah was a gazelle. Don't know what a gazelle is? You ever watch them gazelles on TV in Animal Kingdom? I mean, they are moving, brother. They can move. They're Flash Jordan. They move. You just can't keep up with them. The enemy has infiltrated so much into the church that we don't even know who we're kissing anymore. Come on, help me, preacher. We don't even know who we're kissing anymore. Bust him good. Because it was, when you studied the book and the principles in this book, it was Orpah who betrayed Naomi with a kiss. And it was the same kiss that Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus with. As long as the disciple is in the kingdom for what benefits him, he's all for it. But if anything becomes contrary, he is not for it. And he's going to kiss you goodbye, honey. He's going to smack you right on your lip and tell you how much he loves you. He's a lie, and he's a lie, and the devil from the pits of hell.
That's right.
No more than these preachers that tell you how great you are so they can get your money. Diviners of money. Don't you just love it? You get something. Say, brother, I've been watching you on the service. The Lord is on you tonight. And the Lord has said to me right now, brother, if you would just give $1,000. I feel the Holy Ghost, something happening here right now. Ain't nothing happened but you. And the devil in you. But we can't find men with enough backbone to stand up and confront them.
That's right.
You come to my city, you want to confront somebody, you call me up. I'm ready. And these jacks out of the box, they come out and set camp in our cities.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, they're not in order.
That's right. Man.
Yeah,
that
they won't even come to a local church, which is the key of the city. They won't come to a local brother. They'll go set up camp, and they'll have a great big meeting, and they'll just rob you of everything. And the next thing you know, you lost half your church. Because Brother Blessing came with his $1,500 suit and his nice car, and he told him, if you would just give 100, 10 of you can give 500, 20 of you can give 1,000. Well, I feel the Holy Ghost. I think you better give some more money.
Oh.
My wife was seeking the Holy Ghost. She ought to get up here and tell this. Went to this meeting, and the preacher took 5 offerings because every time he looked at the bucket, it wasn't enough money. And I didn't come over here to preach about that, but you listen up. This is the introduction. If we want God to change our spiritual climate, we're going to have to be on the move. Look at your neighbor and say, the devil can't hit a moving target. Preacher was preaching one time. I got a hold of his tape. The devil don't have to fool with anything that's dead.
That's right.
He doesn't. You're not a threat to him.
That's right.
Me, my four, no more. Who said, who prescription? You got to get involved in church. Get involved in church. Don't they know who I am? That's the problem. You need to get involved.
That's right.
You can never be an authority, people.
Come on now.
Without being an authority.
That's right.
You'll never get into your own ministry until you can serve under somebody else's ministry. These are principles that work. We will find this working in the life of a little Moabite woman who did not know Jesus, but she was part, if you go back to Matthew, of the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. She was a Moabite. She was serving another god. But yet we will find that Naomi, she stopped at Pentecost. She was 60-fold. She got bitter. She got mad at God. She said, I'm quitting here. We don't have altars anymore. We don't pray anymore. We don't do this anymore. I quit. We have moved and shifted from cold and callous to dead. seeker sensitive. Mainline Pentecostal churches are now telling their people it's no longer profitable to pray out loud in tongues. He shall call out of my son that I'm a Micaiah. Take that! You have no power without the Holy Ghost. And you didn't get it when you got saved. Now here's something on the backside. Naomi. My Jesus. She's delightful, the Bible says. She was beautiful and agreeable. She ended up bitter. Some of you in the sound of my voice today, you're in the crossroad of your life. I want to talk to you prophetically today. I'm not going to do a whole lot of preaching. You've got a decision to make. Your decision will either keep you in bitterness, or you move on to the sweet. Because you're at a crossroad. And you need God to give you directions. She didn't have to get bitter, Brother Jim. She chose. And some of us, we've been so used to having it done the same way for so long in church that we've become like the pews. I had a lady out of the denomination of church almost murder me out of church because I sat in her spot.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sitting there. She said, excuse me. I said, yes. She says, excuse me. I said, ma'am. I don't read lips. You're sitting in my spot. I said, excuse me. I got up and I looked around. I said, and what is your name? Well, she went and got the usher. And I knew the usher. He says, "Brother Ronnie, could you please move over to the next seat?" I says, "I got a good mind to make her sit down in my place and make her deal with herself. I'm just that way, you know. I got to deal with me. I don't always like me, and my wife agrees." Oh, Lord, we'll never get done with this. Hallelujah. But here we go. Notice in the verse 1, it said, and there was a certain man that was in the days of the judges that ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man. Abimelech was a good pastor, good father. So he did what good dads did. He went out to find out where there was food, water, things, provisions for his family. But here's why I think the problem where the church is slipping into the dark ages. They're no longer hungry for hearing the Amos 8 word, the words of God. 25 years ago, the Lord said, I'm going to raise up a people who will come looking for you so you can give them the words of God. Because my church has turned and walked to the worldly church. They're letting the soothsayers in, the new agers in. The philosophies have taken over. That guy from California wrote the book. You know, please help me, Jesus. Nothing but philosophy. Now, do we have an excuse? We were warned this through the Apostle Paul way before we ever came to be on this earth. In Colossians 2, he said, men of vain imaginations and philosophers. When you trade God for a philosophy, you trade God for another deity. Did I just say that? When you trade God for a philosophy, you trade God for another deity. Jesus comes second to none. Malon was sickly, the Bible says. His name means infirmity. Shilion was pinning. He was finished. He was complete. He was consumption. Orpah was a gazelle. She was free-spirited. She was adulterous. And Ruth was named means friendly, and she was lovely. A few years ago, God woke me up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and these were the words He left me with. He said, I'm famished. I'm thirsty. And I hunger. And I'm not full. God is going to shake this country.
Praise the Lord.
But before He can shake the foundations of the country, He has to shake the church.
Yes,
that's right.
Because it's we the people, you and me, we have the authority
on the earth by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not what civil authority. They have their place. They have their apostles. They have their prophets. They have all their ministry intact to maintain the law. But we are the people. And we're going to have to begin to search our hearts again and find out why. Ask yourself this question. Why am I not knocking on doors and trying to win folks to the Lord? Jehovah and Witness haven't quit.
That's right.
The Mormons are still riding bicycles. And Islam is growing rapidly. Are we going to sit by and watch another generation go down the tube? If you think this is tough times, you wait until we have to wait on another generation who has no idea who God is. Just imagine waking up in America tomorrow morning and the name of God cannot be used at all. They're taking it out of our schools. They're taking him out of the church. Come on. Hallelujah. One of the things that God has to do for us on the church on the move, you'll remember this little thought. Write this down. Elevation evolves around confrontation. You're not leaving where you are to get where you need to be unless you face your enemies.
That's right.
Who knows your enemies better than you do? Listen, folks, when Hollywood starts talking about having personal demons, movie stars, actors, hypocrisy, they start talking about demons being real, what does the church think? Oh, no, brother, I got saved. I'm clean. Yeah, you like Mr. Clean on the outside. But you're full of dead man's bone on the inside. I say, Hollywood needs actors. They come to the wrong place. They got to come to the church.
Oh.
We know how to act.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
Let's tell the truth. How many preachers we got in here? Raise your hand. The rest of you are cowards. You know when you get ready to have a Sunday morning church. I know when I pass. I mean, it would never fail that we didn't have a confrontation between my wife and I before I get to church. But when we walked in... Good morning. And then especially if they address you by your new title, Dr. Bijou, Dr. Bijou. I crossed all my teeth, dotted all my I's. But they weren't in that car with you. So you see, nobody knows you better than you. And see, you can be in the field and never look for the hidden things that's inside of you. And because you don't, you'll never come the goodly pearls of great price. Smokey the Bear said, only you can prevent forest fires. Only you stands in the way for your promotion to come.
Right.
I tell you, when the early days I thought, man, I got up to preach, I was it. People needed to listen to me. I had it together. And the older I get in the Lord, I'm going, what am I doing here? Just like God took a little Moabite woman and he was going to change her through the things that she confronted. She was smart enough to know she couldn't wait for Naomi to have another batch.
Yeah.
By God, she'd be ancient. But she saw, come on, the world sees something in you that they don't see in one another. And when the church will be a light in dark places, that light will shine bright. Ruth saw something in Naomi, even though she was bitter. And she said, I want your God to be my God. I want your land to be my land. She was a protege of the mentality and the anointing that was going to come upon her, passed down from Naomi, to get her from the 60-fold into the 100-fold dimension, which speaks of where we are in the presence of God in the Holy of Holies.
Yeah.
Hebrews tells us that we have a right to enter in by the blood of the Lamb. We need to get back to preaching the cross.
Yeah.
At the cross, where I first saw the light,
yeah,
and the burdens of my sins rolled away. Yeah. It was there by faith that I received my sight. And now, I'm happy all the day.
quit knocking other brethren in different denominations. They can't give folks what they don't have. You filled with the Holy Ghost today, you cannot give people what you don't have. The Bible says in verse 6, then she arose with her daughter-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited His people in giving them, shout it out loud,
bread.
We have no concept of what a lack of bread would be in our country. Third world countries face this every day. People standing in line just to get, if they can get, a whole loaf of bread. And we take it for granted. Now that's for the physical. Now we've got people in America standing in line to try to find churches that are giving out the true bread. Did you ever dream that you would come to this place in your life to wait to see that the church would be in this position where people have to go throughout the whole city to find a church? We released our people in our local church about a month ago, and we started on our venture. I believe in the local church. We've got to find a local church, have a local pastor.
Come on, wait, brother.
We went to the churches, and here's what I'm hearing. They're praying in tongues. Well, here I am. The preacher said something I like. I said, "Preach it, brother!" That guy got up from his seat, turned around and looked at me and went... Well, I said, "I know this is not where we belong." I'm not interested in the Spirit-filled Pharisees. Theological, and they're correct and hermeneutically correct and proper. Oh, geez. Hermeneutics in the 101, booby-dooby. And you go from church to church and you wonder, Lord, did you leave? Just last weekend we walked into this church. Boy, I mean, they're strong and in praising the Lord, Jane, and hallelujah. And he called on us, see the Micaiah. Three prophecies came. I said, glory! We have made it back into the kingdom. We take it for granted for what's written on the marquee that these people really move with God. God's looking for a church on the move. And what began in the field will end in the field. Your ministry didn't begin in church. Let me say that again. Your ministry did not begin in church. It began going out and going, hello, do you have a moment? Would you like something to read? And you waited for a moment. Simple little gospel tract. When's the last time you saw a gospel tract? Am I talking to some weirdos in here or what?
Oh.
Am I so antiquated that this is not... When's the last time you walked into a church building and it had gospel tracts? That's for you folks who were just getting started. You need a little help here. We had a lady come to our church, first church we ever founded and pastored. She was Jehovah's Witness, got radically saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and got the devil knocked out of her. And she said, on Saturday morning, we had soul winning class, took them out to pass out tracts, and she is a big, tall girl. I mean, she looked like she could eat soup in my head. I said, Beverly, you ready? She said, yes, sir. I said, let's go. We marched into this clothing store and got a bunch of ladies. You know how ladies love to shop. Ooh, this nice. Ooh, this nice. Yeah, nice. Nice. I said, see that woman standing over there? I said, she's oppressed. I said, go give her a tract. Ask her if she'll take a moment to read it. And you just stand there and wait. Oh, no! Pastor Peter, I can't do that! I'm scared! She was. I said, Beverly, ain't nothing but a thing. Come on. Grabbed her by the hand. I'm dragging 6-foot Beverly. Dragging by the hand. We get up there. I pull my stack. Thought I had a pack of Marlboro in my pocket. Pull that stack of track out and I gave the lady one. Said, we'd like for you to read this for a moment. And if you have any questions, we'll be standing right out here. She read that and tears are coming down her eyes. I looked at her. I said, sick of Beverly. She said, Pastor. She said, all right. She moved up there. And when she opened her mouth, Lord have mercy, Jesus. Machine gun Beverly. She ain't no way she's turning loose, Brother Jim. She's got her fish.
Ruth is going to make a sound in all of Israel. She's a perfect picture of the church where she has to learn how to glean while she's leaning. See, there's nothing wrong with gleaning the field. Because your purpose and your destiny one day is to know that you're going to own that same field that you're gleaning. And you're going to help others learn how to glean. And the young men that approach it, I'm going to paraphrase a lot, they were immature, Brother Jim. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. They were disciples, but they were full of hormone 101. And Ruth was available. Yes, she but she wasn't looking.
Exactly.
There you go.
Because she had surrendered her heart to the God of Israel. And she knew what she saw in Naomi. She wanted to possess her land. So your mind is your land. Your minefield, your land, your soil. You have to learn how to possess your soul. Because you're going to go through some dark places in your life. And the enemy is going to be encompassed around. And he's going to confront you. And he's not always going to come out and say, I'm the devil, hoo-hoo, I'm the devil, hoo-hoo, here I am, with a pitchfork. Please. He might look like you. And he might try you with a couple of verses. He knows the book. He knows his destiny. So what does a drowning man have hope in? He's going down the tube. So he's only interested in trying to bring down as many of them as he can. But there's a greater responsibility while you're out in the field. You're working for the Master. And he's given you a commission. Matthew 28 has not changed, people of God. It's still go ye. And look at your neighbor and say, that means go me. When you say go ye, you say, Pastor, that's why we're paying you. We're giving you a salary. We're paying, you know, you got a nice parsonage. You got a nice car. You go ye. No, the Bible says, go me. In Old English translation, go me. New Day Modern Translation, go me. Into all the world. You don't just witness in your neighborhood. Since we have a lot of ladies here today, how many of you love to go to Walmart? Well, that was about as weak as I've ever seen. We need to get these women sanctified, brother. How many of you ever like to go to Walmart? These cashiers need you. They need to see something moving. Because all they see all day long is dead people mumbling, coming. When it's so hot, I can't believe. I mean, can you imagine 8 hours of mumbling and complaining? Now you understand a little bit about Moses' ministry. And they mused in their heart and they murmured and they complained. Oprah was a complainer. Ruth was just submissive. Whatever you want, mother-in-law. You're the best mom-in-law I ever had. I had the greatest mother-in-law in the world. Never found fault with anything. Godly. God-fearing. I learned more in watching her life than I did in Bible college. Wouldn't that be lovely for us to leave a legacy like this to our children?
Amen.
Instead of that old sourpuss, he needed to go on. He's standing in the way all the time. Nothing but a grump. Up to the 60-fold dimension, Naomi had confidence. She loved God. She praised God early in the morning. She had the greatest respect for Jehovah God. And Ruth saw it. And she latched onto it. But she quickly found out, before that can be elevation, there has to be confrontation. How many of you have been tried? How many of you don't know what you are? How many of you know where you belong? How many of you are trying to find out where you belong? Tragedy hits the church, the pastor dies. So you have to make a choice. You're going to quit or go on? Situations happen to you. You're going to quit or go on? Sister Jane said it beautifully this morning. Got a runaway grandson, but she's moving on. We have wayward child, but we're moving on. You see, we know what the Word of God promises. They'll return. How many of you have got children that moved away and slipped away from God? This promise is for you. They're going to come back. I'm going to tell you how they're going to come back. I was in my early years of Bible college, and God was beginning to develop some gifts in me, and I didn't know what all these things were. I thought, you know, just something you did. When God showed up, they worked. You know? That was simple. I was a simple boy, country boy. I'd bought this little mail carrier Jeep. It was a little blue Jeep we called a Nellie Bell. And the steering wheel was on the right side. Post office Jeeps. Man. Cruising. I got the slide doors. I got the speaker wide open. I mean, I got the 8-track on. We just are worshiping God going, hey, get down, mama. We are on the move. And see this young lad on the side of the road. And all of a sudden, my heart began to really feel for him. And I pulled over. This was in the days when you picked up hitchhikers.
Yeah, exactly.
I pulled over. He sits in my truck. I said, hey, where you going? He says, well, I don't rightly know which way I'm going to go. I got off the troop on the east side, now I'm going west. I said, well, I'm going up to Lafayette. I'll take you as far as that goes, you know. And you'd be better off getting on the exit to try to find a ride. And I had that music on. I didn't pay him any mind. I kept on praising the Lord. Hey, Jesus. Jesus reigns. And oh, everything. His eyeball's about that big. And the Lord says he has run away from home. And I saw a vision of his mom and daddy standing on this little shotgun house on the porch. And they were just raising their hands and crying out to God to bring their son home. I said, young man, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, no, sir. But my mom and daddy do. I said, you've run away from home. You've been smoking pot, sleeping on the side of the road, and your mama is worried sick about you. He looked at me like, you must have come off from another planet. And I said, I saw your mom and daddy praying, and the Lord wants you to go home. They're waiting for you. But I want to make sure before you get out of my truck that you know who Jesus is. I prayed with him and he broke and he sobbed for the longest. And yeah, I'm thinking, I'm going to be late for church. I'm so interested in going to church. You know, sometimes we're so interested in going to church. I'm not talking to the right group. Crossed over that other lane. First trucker that came by, picked him up.
Praise God.
I said, thank you, Jesus. I looked on the back of the truck, and it said, Georgia. Guess where he was from? How did God know that? God's got an angel. God's got a messenger. God's got somebody looking after your child. Don't you ever lose hope on that. God's got an angel. God's got more than one angel looking over our children that they have gone far from God. They think. It's amazing. Our oldest daughter, every time she gets in the paint, she starts quoting the Bible. But she lives on the street. And I told her, I said, you know you got a street ministry. She said, oh, Papa. I said, you got a street ministry. I cannot do what you do. I can't do what Jerry does. I can't do what you do, brother. I can't do what you do, and you can't do what I do. But what we do together.
Praise God. That's where it's at.
I know this is a different side of what I generally do. You've been so kind. So what I'm going to have to do for you today, I'm going to have to lead you into a prayer of repentance.
I go along with that.
Yes,
I agree.
So I could teach you all kind of principles and keys and give you some illustrations. We need to get right with God.
Yes.
Right. Amen. Oh, friends. Just one moment of His presence. Just does away with all the eschatology teachings. Who's right about how it's going to end? Know this of a surety. It's going to end for you and for me. One day. And we're going to cross over. And we're going to walk on those streets. And when I cross the portals of glory, I don't want to see Peter. But as stubborn as he is. I don't want to see Paul, the marvelous scribe, great teacher, the great lecturer. I don't want to see the apostle James, but I want to see Jesus.
Amen.
I want to see in whom I have believed all these years. See, prophets have compassion too. It's not, I give you a word of prophecy for 50 bucks. We are the body of Christ. We are a moving church. Some of you in this room, not only are you in an atmosphere shift, you're in a geographical shift. God is going to move you. But you have to remember what the word of the Lord. You can never be an authority until you're under authority. You'll always have somebody ahead of you, and you'll always have somebody behind you. And I believe today, without prophesying to you, and I asked the Lord permission, and He said He had a different way today. That when you repent, you may be mad at your pastor or your former pastor. My wife brought you a prophetic word about the sting of offense, being offended. Let me tell you something, it goes deep. I've been offended coming to this camp. And I had to march my little self right up here and ask for forgiveness. I don't challenge you to do that. It's hard. Because I was wrong. And we should not walk around with feelings on the end of our sleeves or fingertips. But words are powerful. And they can be offensive. We need to treat one another as the Lord's children. We're not here to lord over you, to manipulate you, or to control you. If you're in a ministry that lord over you and to manipulate and control you, I tell you, you have the Lord's permission to leave. You don't need to have three more confirmations or three more prophecies say, thus said the Lord, move on. Because you'll never get beyond the mentality of your leadership. Are you with me? You say, well, Pastor, there's nowhere in my town. There's nowhere in your town. Go to the next town. You got a car? Drive. We drove twice a week. 1 hour one way, 1 hour the other way. Sometimes it was the only 10 bucks we had to put gasoline in the car. And we had a clunker. They could hear us showing up. Pow, pow, it backfired. And they go, well, the Bijus are here. Now two girls are sitting back there with their hair all puffed up. Going, oh, dear Papa, do we have to go to church in that car? We're going to have prayer in a moment. I want to close with a true story. 20-something years ago, we came here. And we had between $50 and $60 to our name. We don't know how we got put on the Voice of His Excellency Glory. We don't know how we got put on the mailing list. Somebody turned our name in. They turned us in. And our life was a wreck. And without the help of God, I could honestly tell you, I would not be married to this wonderful woman today. The devil would have killed us, separated us. He did try. But thank God for His mercy. We came here and we waited on tables and we washed tables and we did everything we could. I slept in the men's dorm and she slept in the ladies' dorm. And we thought we were hot dogs. And it took more transmission fluid to put in my car to get me home than anything. And on the way home, we blew a line. I'm a little mechanically inclined. I brought some parts. My car needed a little help. My wife said, hey, I don't know if it's me, but it's just there's an awful big cloud following us. I look in my rearview mirror, and we got this smoke cloud following us. And all of a sudden, I hear, bing, 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 bing. It wasn't this, Brother James. It was my light on my dashboard said, transmission. We look up yonder as far as we could see, and this little light shining. Drove up there. They had 4 quarts of oil left, and they took every drop of that oil. We drove home. We parked the car. Dwing, 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 dwing. It cuts off. We get on home, and I said, honey, we are doing good. I said, we got $5 left to our name. I said, but wasn't it a joy that we went and the Lord had blessed us? I said, I feel like I got another shot.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Sometimes you just need a little help. Praise God. Another shot. You need just to be, this is why I changed the whole, God changed my whole ministry this morning. Just to encourage you. You are much further along down the road than you think.
That's right.
And just because you can't see further down the trees and from the forest, God can see way down beyond the road. But it's what you do from now
until you get to your destiny. The in-between trials and tribulations. The turmoils. And in every one of them, you progress to another level. And you've learned that wonderful lesson of life. So you can look behind you and say, come on, I know how to beat the devil. I know how to stomp on him. Come on, I know how to get victory over this. There are classrooms that are not within the four walls of a church building. Lessons to be learned. Receive from all the wonderful men and women of God that come here that have labored in the faith. We have an apostle here, and I know Brother Humbard doesn't like for me to call him that, but he's an apostle in all rights. He's an aged, seasoned man of God. But to him, he's just an old soul winner. And his heart's still for winning souls. And I admire that about him. Titles are not important to him. They shouldn't be important to us. All that should be important is we know that we're out in the field and we're doing what God told us. Would you stand to your feet? I don't want anybody looking around. This is just you and God right now. Sister Jane, can you just play softly for me, please? Some of you have come here heavy burdened. Some of you have horrific testimonies. Things have happened to you. Some of you have been violated, betrayed. Join the club. We're the club of the misfit, but God saw that we were fitting to bring us into His kingdom for such a time as this. And He loves us. In your own moment, your own time, I want you to search your heart. Ask the Lord, say, Lord, is there anything hidden in me that's keeping me from being everything you want me to be? That I'm man enough and woman enough to admit it before the throne of God. And I repent of my sins. I repent for being lukewarm. I repent for not going out and sharing the gospel with my neighbor. Living the life. I repent for not helping my church and supporting my local church and supporting my pastor in prayer. I repent for not praying for those in authority in our country and our president and our vice president and Lord, the legislature and the congressmen and the apostles and the prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers over the great kingdom of God. I repent of those things. Because it says to be mindful of the dignitaries and to pray for them. Lord, we need one another now more than we've ever needed one another. Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit of God, come now. Thank you for your holy conviction. Help us to see what we couldn't see on our own. Now, Father, we take these cares and these weights and these anxieties and these hurts and these betrayals and these violations and these offenses, and we place it upon your throne. We thank you that you've forgiven us for us. We repent of them. We turn from our sins. And we go ye to all the world. And teaching them and making disciples of them. Lord, we don't know how much longer we have on the earth. Only you know that. But we want to occupy in the kingdom. We want to lift one another up. We want to pray for one another. We want to be there in their time of needs. Thank you, Father. If you need healing for your body this morning, we want you to come. If you need prayer. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues, you can have it today.
Amen.
We're waiting. God speaks to your heart. Come. We want to pray for you. What can we do for you, Mother?
I need a healing in my body.
Okay. Get some oil, honey.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com. And lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.